saved from embarrassment. You know, no one likes to be embarrassed. Of course, different things would make different people embarrassed. Some people would be embarrassed if they were asked to sing a solo in a concert hall. Others would be embarrassed if they were asked to play in Wimbledon or cricket at Lord's. At certain ages, some of the boys would be embarrassed to kiss the girls or even sit next to one. One of the most embarrassing experiences for me came in a dream. I don't know whether you've had embarrassing dreams. In the middle of this dream, I walked out onto a platform along with the platform party at a large day of fellowship with several thousand people there. And when I got up to speak, however, I suddenly noticed that I had, well, no, I hadn't forgotten my notes, although I've done that before now. No, it was something far more embarrassing than that. As I got up to speak, I noticed that I was still wearing my pajamas. I can still see them now. They were an old-fashioned pair with bright red and white stripes. As I looked at this scene, I couldn't believe my eyes, because I never had a pair of pajamas with red and white stripes. But as I looked at them, I noticed that everybody's eyes were also looking at them, and I could feel myself breaking out into a cold sweat, which of course suddenly woke me up to discover it was only a dream. Since it was dark, I couldn't see the colour of my cheeks, but I imagine that they well, very well matched probably the colour of the pyjamas. But in the vision in Zechariah chapter 3, Zechariah's eyes were confronted with something far more embarrassing than that. In his picture, Zechariah sees a court scene. And the person in the dock is introduced there in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Yes, the person in the dock is none other than the high priest. And of course, it's important for us to remember that the people of Israel have just returned from Babylonian captivity. They've returned to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And of course, they need a high priest who is going to act on their behalf before God in the temple. However, in Zechariah's dream, it's Joshua who is in the dock. He is the one being accused and charged. And at his right hand is Satan to accuse him on behalf of the council for the prosecution. You notice that there is no statement on behalf of the prosecution. No statement at all. Because Satan doesn't need to say anything. Joshua is obviously guilty. Just look at him there in verse 3. Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. So here is Joshua, the high priest, who's supposed to represent the people before a holy God. And instead of the specially designed garments that the high priest is supposed to wear that enable him to function, here he is dressed in filthy robes. His clothing is disgusting, disgraceful, dirty rags, disqualifying him to serve as a priest. Of course, as the scene is played out, Joshua's state is not only obvious for all to see. It's obvious that he is guilty as charged, but we also see that the picture not only represents Joshua, but we also see you and I reflected in the picture. We too stand before a holy God, a God whose standard of perfection we have failed to meet, a God who is our Lord and King, and whom we have failed again and again. Of course, we often think that we're quite nice people, But we need to be reminded in the words of Isaiah that all our righteousness is like filthy rags. So far have we fallen short of trusting God who made us. So we stand like Joshua, and like Joshua it is pointless in trying to hide the fact. So here's the opening scene of the court presented to us. And you notice that there is no statement for Joshua. Joshua doesn't try and argue with the situation. His embarrassing state before God is obvious. He doesn't pretend and protest and say, "Don't be silly, I'm perfectly in the right." Nor does he try to change the goalposts by protesting, "Well, yes, I am a little bit dirty, but look at that chap over there, I'm far cleaner than he is." No, Joshua stands before God, guilty as charged. He can't say anything in mitigation. He can only acknowledge that this is how he is. And yet that is a healthy position in which to be. It reminds me of the story told of Oliver Cromwell, who once sat to have his portrait painted by the famous court painter of the time, Sir Peter Lilly. Of course, Sir Peter Lilly, like most of the portrait painters of the time, was used to portraying his subjects in a flattering light. They would see the person sat in front of them, but just like using Photoshop, they would airbrush out the wrinkles and the warts and anything else that the person would rather not be seen with. But Oliver Cromwell allegedly said to Peter Lilly, "I desire you to use all your skills to paint this picture truly like me and not flatter me at all. Paint me with all my wrinkles, warts and pimples. Otherwise, I will not pay you a farthing for it." And of course, that's what's happening here to Joshua. You see, it's Joshua's honesty before God which enables what happens next to take place. There in Joshua, in the latter part of verse 4. It says, "The angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' Then he said to Joshua, 'See, I have taken away your sin and will give you rich garments.'" And even Zechariah gets to join in and says there in verse 5, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. It's easy to skip over this amazing picture, which is truly astounding. His shame and embarrassment are removed. Each piece of filthy clothing is removed one by one and replaced with a new, clean, gleaming white garment. Notice the attendants are not told to take them off and we'll put them through the wash. We'll put them through some strong bleach, apply plenty of Vanish. No, those old garments are ripped off and burnt. And the new, fresh garments that have never been worn before, pristine and shining white, are placed on Joshua. And we notice that everything is replaced. No point in replacing the soiled trousers with new ones and leaving his shirt unchanged. Everything must be replaced. So Joshua stands reclothed, his embarrassment removed. The same God who knows his guilt and his shame, knows it better than even Joshua knows it, just as he knows everything about us, doesn't leave Joshua in his guilt and shame, but removes his embarrassment. This must be the best courtroom drama in history. We might ask, how can this happen? The answer to which question, of course, was found in verse 8 onwards. "Listen, O High Priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant the branch." Yes, Zechariah is informed that what is he has seen points forward to something even more dramatic, something God himself will do by sending his servant the branch. We know from the other Old Testament quotation that this branch is none other than the Messianic King, the King who will come and in a single day remove the sin of the land. I don't know what Zechariah thought as he saw the vision and heard the words, as he witnessed Joshua being saved from his embarrassment. I wonder what was going through his mind. I wonder whether he was asking, how on earth can this be? Maybe he was wondering who this branch would be who was going to remove the sin. We know, of course, that the branch he was talking about is none other than Jesus Christ. And he himself, in a single day, would take away the sin of the world. On the hill of Calvary, he died that cruel death on the cross. As he was publicly lifted up, naked, exposed, humiliated, he took our filth upon himself to make forgiveness and cleansing available to us. The question this morning is, do we know that experience for ourselves? Do you know that your sins have been taken away, that you've been given a brand new change of clothes? Do you know that those filthy rags have been exchanged for something other? If you do know, do you remember? Do you remember that this is true? It's so easy to forget that God has taken away our filthy garments and clothed us in a clean array. We need to remember, because Satan is always there to accuse. Just as he did with Joshua, Satan comes beside us and whispers that we should be pronounced guilty. But just as Jesus or God rebuked him then, he will rebuke him now through the gospel. This morning I want you, as you share in this sacred service, to know that experience, the feeling that your shame and embarrassment have been removed, because Jesus has taken away our filthy rags and replaced them with a clean robe. May God bless us as we share that experience together, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Before we separate for our first symbolic service of the foot washing, we're going to invite you to participate in a responsive reading. We're going to read one of the penitential psalms. But I don't think I'm going to be able to read the screen, so I'm going to ask. Oh, I've got help. Yeah, thank you.
I shall read the light, and I'll ask you to read the bold, please. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Thank you so much for that.